When you come here and your role's not really explained or you don't know what's going on with the trade, I don't really understand it.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at RedRock_Bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we're looking back at Thursday's four games, recapping some injury news and then previewing a big slate of games for Friday. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Indeed. Let's look at the first game of the night. The Philadelphia 76ers, without Joel Embiid and without Ben Simmons, beat the Knicks 115-106. For the Knicks, they made a change at center. They did not start Taj Gibson because he was allegedly dealing with back spasms, so they started Punch Bob Shiplock. Bobby Porter started at center. He had 7 points in 22 minutes. Now, thankfully, he didn't start the second half. But again, what on earth is the issue with this team starting Mitchell Robinson? It is hard to complain too much when he played 32 minutes. He still only took three shots with a usage of under 5% because Julius Randle is out there spinning everyone to death. But I'll take 32 minutes, 6-8, one steal, three blocks, 100% from the field for Mitchie Robinson. Did he take it from here?
And Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
It's always a worry as to how he is going to be used moving forward. I don't understand. Are they showcasing Portis for a buyout? Like, what the hell is going on? I don't understand any of this stuff from New York. But again, the minutes for Robinson are up. Randle had 30 and 10 while Lord Alfred Payton on a back-to-back, second game back, 36 minutes, 18, 6 and 12. He is a 12-team league guy, while Mo Harkless was scoreless in the first half, knocked in 15 points in about 5 minutes in the third quarter, and then had 2 points for the rest of the game. He had 17, 4, and 2. That offensive production is absolutely not realistic from Harkless. He's just a deeper league steals and block streamer, while Rowan Barrett didn't bring anything in the peripherals, a triple zero, but he had 15, 6, and 5, and at least his shooting numbers are okay. He's more that 14 to 16 team league guy. After Alonzo Trier played well yesterday, he was rewarded with 10 minutes, just 1 minute more than Wayne Ellington. 6 points for Trier there, while Bullock played 18 minutes and Dotson out of the rotation, while the Fort, Kevin Knox, 8 minutes, 1 point, the worst player in the NBA, while Dennis Smith Jr. suffered a concussion. That's perhaps why Payton played so much, because there was no Ntilikina, and then a knock to the head with concussion-like symptoms, so he was out. For Philadelphia, Big Shake Milton, 32 minutes, 19 points, 5 triples, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. This is a bloke that when he came out of college, his statistical translations were pretty good. And then he looked pretty rough last season at times, but he is the starting point guard until Simmons comes back, which might be 2 months, might be 6 weeks, might be 3 weeks, I don't know. But I think you got to add him in 12-team leagues. While Toby Harris, 34, 7, and 7. Al Horford looked much more comfortable at center, 15, 7, and 9 with a steal and a block. A big game for him without Embiid. While Joshy Richardson still can't hit shots, 11 points on 39%, but 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. The rest of that's getting it done. The Cock Monster Kylo Quinn was the backup center ahead of Norval Powell. He had 10 boards, while Furkan Korkmaz, Furky from Turkey, he's the one getting the bulk of those wing minutes off the bench, or even the starters, because Glenn Robinson did start for Embiid, 21 minutes. Korkmaz played 26. The painter Matisse Thybulle played 15. Alec Burks played 18. I thought Burks would benefit from Simmons being out. Obviously not the case. Korkmaz is a 14 to 16 team league points and threes streamer, while Robinson is only a much, much deeper league guy than that. The Sacramento Kings go down to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 112-108. Bud Hield, still low minutes, but relatively productive. 15 points in 26 minutes with 5 threes, 2 steals, and a block. While Nemanja Bjelica, 18-9 with 4 threes. He had been pretty quiet after the break, but that is a good bounce-back performance from him. Still is a fringy 12-team league guy while everyone is hurt. But let's talk Harry Giles, who looked pretty good in this one. A career-high 19 points in 24 minutes, 8 rebounds. Now, the only thing I'll say here is that he only played 24 minutes despite playing this well. And Alex Len got 21 minutes, but maybe that was because Giles had 5 fouls. I don't think we're seeing Bagley this season. I think there's a real risk we don't see Holmes this season. So Giles is a short-term 12-team league guy at the worst at this point. The pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. 21-3-5 for Barnes, a pretty strong night. He's an interesting stream guy, especially with the Kings having a strong schedule next week as well. While Bogdanovic, 11-4-4, not his best night. The shots just didn't go in. As for Len, 11-11 in 21 minutes. I think he will be out of the rotation when one of those guys returns. And this game was without De'Aaron Fox. We talked about it yesterday, how he did hurt his groin and then returned to the game. Well, he didn't play here. Joseph played 35 minutes, had 6 points, but the 11 assists and 3 steals is the value that he has. So if Fox misses more time, and I don't think he will, but if he does, Joseph's ability to get some assists and get some steals, it is something that's worthwhile looking at. Kent Bazemore's production dropped way off, 7 points in 18 minutes for Baze. For the Thunder, one of the most boring teams for fantasy because it's just more of the same every game. 17-4-7 for Chris Paul, 24-6 for the Italian cock Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my cock!
Nerlens Noel, 20 minutes, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks. All these numbers just might as well look like season averages for these guys. Noel, again, is a 12-team league guy if you need defense. Schroeder had 13-5-7, while Steve Adams, 15-7, and Gilgeous Alexander, 23-3. So just the same sort of stuff from all of these guys. Terrence Ferguson only played 7 minutes. He had a Terrence Ferguson in that he had no stats in 7 minutes at all. Well, Lugans Dort had 6 points in his 24 minutes. Dort is, to me, the superior player than Ferguson, but he is not really by any stretch a fantasy option. Let's move on to the next game we take a look at here. It is the Indiana Pacers. They beat the Blazers at home 106-100. Hassan Whiteside.
The
world. Big game, 18-16 with 4 blocks for Whiteside, while CJ McCollum was big again, 28 with 8 assists. Now, the shooting wasn't great, but 37 usage just bludgeons his way to numbers, while Melo was pretty solid, 12-7 with a steal and a block. He's a fringe 12-team guy. Gary Trent, the new nice Gary.
Nice, Gary!
41 minutes for Trenner, 20 points, 4 triples, 5 rebounds, and a steal. He's been putting up some good steal numbers. The offense has been lacking with Lillard out. I wouldn't be overly rushing to grab Trent based on this performance. Go back and look at his last 2 games if you get too excited. But he's at least a moderate-sized league ad. Yeah, Anthony Simon struggled again, while Trevor Ariza.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
As someone tweeted out to me, I think it was Josh that tweeted out to me that the sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit sound drop is like the hardcore title from WWE. It just changes hands all the time. We're back here in Ariza's hands. 8 points, 2 triples, 4 assists and a steal. But he got that steal. That's why you have him. Whatever else comes from Trevor Ariza is a bonus. Caleb Swanigan also had 6 points in 13 minutes. For the Pacers, Sabonis 20-11, while Tony Warren Jr. had 15-5 with 2 steals. And Oladipo, probably his best game since returning. He was back from the back issue, only played 26 minutes, but 15-7 with a 3 and 2 assists. Justin Holiday hit his threes, 11 points, 3 triples. I don't look at him as a must-roster 12-team league guy. He's a 14-team guy who has 12-team ability just if you need threes and steals, but it's not for everybody, and his role doesn't massively change with Jeremy Lamb out. Brogdon had 17-6-8, while Aaron Holiday is in the rotation, but again, nowhere near 12-team league ads here. Miles Turner also double-double, 14-10, and played 32 minutes, and he blocked 2 shots. All those things are real positives for Turner. That's coming off that 8-block game that he had the other day. Well, Dougie McDirt, who was playing pretty well earlier this season, did not do too much here. 0 points in 12 minutes for McDirt. Then we go on to the last game of the night. The Golden State Warriors, they get absolutely smacked by the Lakers, 116-86. There was no LeBron James, and then Andrew Wiggins was a late scratch for the Warriors. Anthony Davis, 23-6 in 25 minutes with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Rajon Rondo, he started in place of LeBron, 12-4-4-6 with 2 steals. I don't think LeBron's injury is anything serious. I think it was like maybe it was a little bit sore and they were playing the Warriors, so he didn't play. So nothing to do with adding Rondo or even the future MVP Kyle Kuzma, who saw an increase in minutes and usage. 32% usage without LeBron for Kuzma, 18 points in 29 minutes, a far cry from the 12 minutes he played the game before. 3 rebounds and 3 assists, while Markieff Morris had 8-4 in 19 minutes. Danny Green was horrible, 0 points in 19. Dwight Howard played pretty well, 13-9 with 2 blocks, but it's really hard to take too much out of this game for the Lakers, given they won by 30 and LeBron wasn't playing. For the Warriors, the lubricant Kai Bowman played 31 minutes, but then he did sprain his ankle. It looked pretty bad at the end of the game. 11-3-2 with 2 steals and a block. I think he's going to lose a ton of value when Steph comes back, but he could be a stream guy until then. And Jordan Poole also played well. 16 points with 8 assists, 54% shooting. He also hurt his ankle, but he was able to return to the game. He's got some... I think he's more likely than Bowman to be able to maintain 14-team league value when Steph returns. Draymond was ejected in the first half, so the triangle Eric Paschal saw an increase in his usage. The usage mainly come from Wiggins being out, but 23 points in 27 minutes for Paschal. Not much else apart from that. He's not a guy that I'm keen on, while 15 and 6 for Damian Lee was solid. Marquese Chris, not his best performance, 4 and 7 in 23 minutes with 4 assists. I would still be holding on to him, while Dragan Bender started in place of Wiggins and didn't do very much. While your mate Juan Toscano-Anderson had a steal and 5 points in 20 minutes. He is an interesting deeper league steals streamer. That is about it. But this game was just a disaster, really, from the moment it started with no LeBron, no Wiggins, everybody out, and a 30-point margin. It's really hard to judge a huge amount out of what happened in this game. Let's now have a look at some injury news updates. Kelly Oubre has a torn meniscus. We don't have a full timeline. I reckon his season's got a big chance of being done. At minimum, he's going to be out a couple of weeks. He's having a second opinion to see what the treatment method is, but that would be stupid to play him through the rest of this season. I think he's done. I think we're going to see Dario Saric start and more minutes for Cameron Johnson. Mikal Bridges, it doesn't change his minutes. He was getting 30-plus anyway. He just moves from power forward to small forward. Maybe it increases his usage, but he's not a high usage guy anyway. So maybe he gets an extra shot or two, but mainly Rubio will get more shots, Ayton will get more shots, Booker will get more shots, and then Saric will get more shots. So if you wanted Bridges before, he should have him. If you didn't want him before, then it's only a marginal change. I still think he should be a 12-team league guy, but it doesn't have a big bump for Mikal Bridges, while Saric and Johnson are just deeper league options. Joel Embiid with that shoulder issue, no structural damage, just a shoulder sprain. He's going to be reevaluated in a week. Yesterday, I thought about 2 weeks would be right for Embiid. I still think we're in that sort of a zone there for him. Al Horford getting that big boost in today's game. Shake Milton getting a usage bump as well. So did Toby Harris. I think Milton's the ad there. Deeper leagues, you look at Kylo Quinn. Maybe you look at someone like Furky from Turkey in a 14 or 16 team league. Luke Kornet, his season is over, so that just takes one other center out of that rotation. Wendell Carter's back soon anyway, so he wouldn't have been playing, while Dedmon's going to be out for the next 3 or so games. Capella is still out as well. Now, Capella's also dealing with a bone bruise in his heel, along with the plantar fasciitis, so that is obviously a concern, but if you do have Dedmon, considering he's out for the next 3 games, he's not high priority enough to hold on to if you're in a difficult situation. Jalen Brunson, there is a fear he has a torn labrum, and that would end his season. He's out for the next few games anyway, but he is not an impact guy. But it does mean that JJ Barea and DeLon Wright can get a few extra minutes there. Dennis Smith had to leave today's game with a concussion-like symptom, so that's something to monitor. Wiggins with the back injury, and then for Toronto, Norman Powell's been upgraded to questionable, while Marc Gasol is out and has no timetable. This is a real bad hammy after they, I think, rushed him back a little bit the first time. And then the big avocado, Andre Drummond, is also going to miss Friday's game, the second straight game he's missed, in addition to the multiple fourth quarters he missed in the past just from being Andre Drummond. Let's move on to DFS now. 10 games for Friday, so let's talk about those games right now. All right, let's take a look at this first game. It is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Orlando Magic. The Magic are 7.5-point favorites here, and the total is a very, very large 236 points, very large for a Magic game, especially. At point guard here, DraftKings pricing, DJ Augustin's at 3,300, really not playing much at all at the moment, so hard to use that, while D'Angelo Russell's at 8,800. Now, he is putting up big numbers. He's averaging 46 over the last 5. There's no Karl Anthony Towns. So, yeah, 40-plus is a real good expectation for Russell. Can he get to 50, which is probably where he needs to be with this one? I think he can, but it's more for tournaments. Culver and Fultz, I don't think we want to get too interested in them. Carter Williams, similarly. Well, Jordy McLaughlin had some really big games recently, averaging 26 over the last 3 games. I don't know how much they're going to play these guys together, which is what happened last game where he had 29 points in 22 minutes. I'd be a little bit cautious about using him. At shooting guard, Okogie is at 4,100, not a good DFS play, while Fournier is at 65, and that $500 extra that is on his price tag does make him a little bit harder to feel that confident with, while Terry Ross is at 54, just a tournament guy. At small forward, Jimmy Ennis is at 3,700, probably will start again, but I don't like it as an option. And then we go on to your big men. Naz Reid's at 55. The foul trouble is the problem. If he plays 30 minutes, he'll beat that, but the risk of that is low. The chance of that is low. So there is some tournament value in Reid there. Well, Nikola Vucevic at 9,200, he should get to 45 relatively comfortably here. Juancho is at 4,800, had been down before last game. I don't really see the appeal in him, while Aaron Gordon roasting fools at the moment, averaging 51 in his last five games. It's coming with defensive stats and big rebounding games and huge assist totals. It is a good matchup for Gordo, but that is a very, very expensive price, and I'm not sure I'm relying upon him at this stage. Probably more for tournaments. Jimmy Johnson at 5,000. He makes us proud, and I think he's a good cash play. While Mo Bamba had a real monster last game.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
39 points, a double-double with four blocks in under 20 minutes. It is tough to rely upon that from Bamba. Ongoing. Next up, the Brooklyn Nets, the Atlanta Hawks. The Nets are 2-point favorites. The total is 233.5 here in the Damari Carroll Bowl. Both Damian Jones and Trae Young are questionable for Atlanta, as Kevin Huerter is probable, while baby neck Wilson Chandler is probable after he missed last game at point guard. Spencer Dinwiddie is at 7,900. The Hawks recently have been restricting opposition point guards to a decent degree, so I think he's okay at 79, but without being the best guy there. While if Trae Young is out, Jeff Teague is at 3,600.
My name is Jeff.
And that would be an awesome price if we hear that Trae is out. As for Young, 10,500. The Nets also have been restricting opposing point guards at a pretty good level lately. I still think Trae is a 50-55 point type of a player, which at 10-5 looks pretty good to me, while LeVert is killing guys. He's at 8,300. He dropped 62 last game. The defensive limits of the Hawks make me think he can get minimum 40 points here, which does put Karras in play. At shooting guard, Smoking Joe Harris is a no. Cam Reddish at 44. For cash, not bad. Tournaments, I'm not sure about. He's got massive upside. And Garrett Temple, similarly, more of a cash guy, but I'd prefer Reddish over Temple. And then Fanta Pants is at 5,300, who's really struggling at the moment. Kevin Huerter. Torian Prince at 4,700. That's going to be a no from me. And while DeAndre Hunter can only be used in tournaments given how inconsistent his play has been. And then for your big men, Bruno Fernando, likely to start again with Dedmon and Capella both out. 3,400, give me 20 points and it's value, and I think he gets 20. He had 25 in 22 minutes last game. Jarrett Allen's at 51, and centers really do abuse the Hawks. I don't think Allen is getting into foul trouble matching up against Fernando, so at 5,100, I do like Jarrett Allen quite a bit here. While the Baptist Johnny Collins, he's banging in threes from everywhere. He's at 8,600, he's dropping 50s on blokes' heads all the time. That is probably a little bit too high, much like the Aaron Gordon one from the previous game. But with how he is playing, he's at least in the discussion or at least in your player pool without being a guaranteed must roster. DeAndre Jordan had a big game last time with Allen in foul trouble, but I'm not really into that. And Damian Jones is ill and he may not play, and that's going to further boost Bruno Fernando's overall value. Next up, the Charlotte Hornets, the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are 13.5-point favorites. It's a big, big one there, while the total is a miserly 215. Serge Ibaka has appeared on the injury report as questionable, but in good news, Norman Powell has also appeared on the injury report as questionable, so we might see Powell back in action. Now, if Serge is out, we already know Marc Gasol is out, but if Serge is out, you're going to get Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and the water boy Chris Boucher having to fill those center minutes, or even Pascal Siakam. At point guard, Van Vliet's at 6,500, a good matchup for Freddie, but this could be over really quickly. That gives him a limited value, I think, while Devontae Graham at 64, I don't want to trust him at that salary. Rozier at 62, they've bumped his salary up. If he was under 6, I'd be more into it. I think that's more just for tournaments, and even then, I'm not super keen. Well, 8,100 for Kyle Lowry in a blowout risk game is definitely not one that I'd be interested in using. Cody Martin's at 3,700. No Malik Monk, of course. Martin had 23 in 25 minutes last time out. I wouldn't say he's a high upside guy. I wouldn't even say he's a necessarily safe floor guy. He could get 20, but you know, is it really worth taking that risk that he doesn't? As for Storm and Norman Powell, he's at 4,600. I think if he does play, he'll beat that number, and that would give him some value at that salary, while Caleb Martin and Joe Chile will get some minutes, but they won't do much with them. At small forward, Miles Bridges was pretty disappointing last game, but I do look for a bounce back. It's really impressive that he dropped $400 in price, and that gives great value here for Miles at 5,600. The Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He's at 4,900, Anunoby. I think that's, look, if Powell plays, it does dampen that a little bit, but if Serge is out, it does help OG as well. So I think at that price, there is some appeal in using him. And then if we go on to the big men, you've got Ibaka at 59. He'll smash if he plays, but we just don't know that. While I don't know what the Hornets are going to do, last game they just sat Cody Zeller out and started Bismack Biyombo. Will they go a different route here and start Hernan Gomez instead of Biyombo? There's just a lot up in the air, making it hard to trust them. Now, if Zeller is out and Biyombo starts again, I wouldn't mind him as a cash center. Siakam's at 8,500. The only thing limiting him, I think, is going to be the blowout risk here, while Paul Washington Jr. at 51 looks like a good cash play with some tournament upside. Jalen McDaniels, probably not, while the water boy at 3,400. I like Boucher's odds, especially as a tournament guy, if we do hear that Serge doesn't play with that knee soreness that he is dealing with. Hollis Jefferson, again, at 41 would be worth a look, and Biyombo at 42 if we hear that they are starting, which is possibilities for both of those guys. Next game up, we take a look at the Dallas Mavericks and the Miami Heat, the ref bowl. No spread out for this one at this point. Bam Adebayo has popped up on the injury report as probable with an ankle injury, while Luka Doncic has a thumb issue. He is questionable. Now, of course, Luka played through that injury for a triple-double last game, so I expect that he will play. Jalen Brunson will be out, as will Tyler Hero and Myers Leonard. Jim Butler's at 7,900. He should be close for 40. Maybe he doesn't have the upside, but he should have a safe enough floor to use him. While DeLon's at 41, not playing enough. Doncic at 10-7. Yeah, look, the Heat defense has fallen off quite a bit, as has their offense and their overall team play. So I think Doncic at 10-7 should be good for at least 50. I reckon he's an option for us, while the iron shoulder Goran Dragic is too high for me at 61, while Kendrick Nunn at 5,900 been really good the last couple of games. I would be only looking at him as a tournament guy. For your shooting guards, the Spur Dunk Robinson's at 4,800. Don't really like his DFS appeal in general, while Timmy Hardaway at 6,100, don't like him for DFS either. Iguodala, Seth Curry, I don't really see it. At small forward, Finney Smith had a pretty strong game, but that was on the back of some really good defensive numbers, and he still only posted 31, so I don't really like him too much here. While Jay Crowder at 57...
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
I just think with most people healthy, it is hard to rely upon him as an option. Derek Jones Jr., similarly. They'll probably go and start Kelly Olynyk again. He is wildly inconsistent and he's at $5,000, so I don't want anything to do with it. But I do like Bam, of course, at 8,800. He's been dropping 40s, dropping 50s. I think this is a 45-ish sort of a game for Adebayo, which is fine at that 8,800 salary. Kristaps Porzingis. He is really absolutely rolling. And I know we kill the Knicks all the time, but I don't think we actually kill the Knicks enough for how bad that trade was. He's averaging 49 over his last five. I like him in this one. While Maxi Kleber and Kelly Olynyk probably not going to move anybody's needle all that far. Sacramento at Memphis. The Kings on a back-to-back. It looks like De'Aaron Fox may play, but we don't know that for sure. For Memphis, Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson and Justice Winslow are all out. The Grizzlies somehow favored by four, despite being absolutely atrocious of late. The total is 229. If you are a betting person, even though it's a back-to-back and on the road, I love that Kings plus four in this one. At point guard, Tyus Jones at 3,300. Cool. The wave pool, De'Anthony Melton's at 4,400. Wasn't a great game from Melton in a start last time, but he did have 23 in 24 minutes against the Rockets. He's at least worth a GPP look if we hear that he starts, while Morant has been struggling. He's at 6,600 jar here. I do think that this is a great opportunity to buy low in seasonal and dynasties. I think he's a top 20 dynasty player moving forward, and he might be able to buy low. I know that's got nothing to do with DFS, but I'll chuck that in. And now I think that this makes him a GPP option. Fox at 77, I would not want to use with his abdominal discomfort. Corey Joseph's at 35, and if Fox is out, there is some value in using him. Dylan Brooks is at 5,200. Didn't shoot well, but bludgeoned his way to 29 points last game in 30 minutes. And 5,200, he's in the tournament mode. While Bud Heald's at 6,000 and Bogdan's at 52. I'll still take Bogdan over Heald and save that $800. Bazemore and Conchar. Conchar at 3,200. If he gets 20 points, that's almost 7x in value. It's over 6 at least. And that's not bad. He's been playing at a pretty high level. So he's a weird GPP-ish sort of a guy. Onto your small forwards. Joshy Jackson's at 46. Bit disappointing the last couple of games, Jacko, averaging just 22 in his last five, more for tournaments, while Anderson at 48 and the pencil Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. I don't mind Barnes here at 5,400 as a cash guy with a marginal level of tournament upside. for your big men. Nemanja Bjelica had been out of form until that game against the Thunder where he put up a big one. He's at 5,300. This is an opportunity, a good opportunity against a front court that's leaking fantasy points at the moment in the Memphis Grizzlies. So I think Bjelica is an option for us, while Jonas Valanciunas is probably too high. His minutes haven't been great. He's at 6,700. I'd leave it alone. I don't know if they'll start Melton or Jeng. If we hear that Jeng is starting at 5,300, it does work out in his favor. While Harry Giles at 56, hey, he's exceeding that almost every night, so I do like that. Alex Len at 4,000. I'm sure we can do a little bit better than spending that sort of cash on Alex Len. Next up, we've got the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New Orleans Pelicans. Andre Drummond is out, the big avocado. At point guard, Lonzo Ball is at $7,000. Great matchup. We know point guards going up against the Cavs do well. Lonzo is absolutely an option for us, even a 40-point upside guy, I think. Yeah, I would look at him as a strong tournament guy. Well, Ingram at 75 looks pretty good for both formats. Drew Holiday's at 82. I'd prioritize those other two Pelicans ahead of Drew at this point, while Darius Garland is only in use for tournaments, and even then, not highly. While the Padawan Colin Sexton at 6,400, it feels a little bit too overpriced for me. Matty Dellavedova had a big game last time out. I don't trust it, though. Kevin Porter's at 4,800. He was a little bit down last game. Tournament value there for him for sure. Well, Josh the Hitman Hart's not really the DFS guy, nor is JJ Redick. At small forward, it is Chetty Osman, and that is it, and therefore meaning you don't want to use any small forwards here. And then on to your big men, Derek Favors at 4,800. Now, this could be a matchup for Favors going up against Thompson and Nance and Love. More opportunity for him to be out there. I don't completely hate him as a tournament guy, but I probably wouldn't use him. While Zion's at 8,000, there isn't. Imagine Kevin Love trying to stop Zion Williamson. Cool. Zion's had dropped 40 on his head in the first half. I love Zion here. While Tristan Thompson at 57 also looks like a massive, massive win. Larry Nance at 59, I also like it. I think there'll be 30-plus minutes for all three of those guys with the ability to put up 30-plus fantasy points for all of those guys. I didn't mention Kevin Love's at 7,300. Out of those three guys, Thompson, Love, and Nance, I'm probably the least in on Love, mainly because he does cost the most money, while Nicolò Melli at 4,100, he's banging in a lot of threes, but it's not really giving us great DFS production. Next up is the Thunder and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Thunder off that back-to-back win over the Kings. The Bucks are a massive 10.5-point favorites, and the total is 229. Yanni Antetokounmpo has appeared on the injury report as probable. Georgie Hill's at 3,400. I don't care for that, while Bledsoe at 6,900.
Giggity!
Bledsoe's playing fantastically. He's averaging 36 over the last five. I just think 69 is a little bit too much to handle, and I'd probably fade off of him. Schroeder's at 56. I love that cash value for Schroeder. Well, the Big Ragu's at 42. Dante DiVincenzo, that's a fade. And Chrissy Paul at 77. Massive, strong cash value. Same with Gilgeous Alexander at 7,500. For your shooting guards, Wes Matthews is a fat no, as is Pat Connaughton, Terrence Ferguson, and MC Hamadou Diallo. At small forward, the Italian cock Danilo Gallinari is at 6,300. I think on a back-to-back, that might be too high. I would leave him out of it. While Chrissy Middleton's at 76, I love what Mids is doing. So that is good value for me at that salary. Lugens Dort is going to start and probably not do too much. For your big man, Yanni's at 11.6. Love it. Give him 60 here pretty comfortably. While Noel at 32 is not for me. Brook Lopez at 53, I think, is in a decent enough spot to give you cash value. While Steve Adams at 6,800, I'm not sure that Adams, who has struggled mightily in the past against the Bucks, is the one that I want to be spending almost $7,000 on. In fact, I am sure that he is not the guy that I want to spend that on. The next game is the Washington Wizards and the Utah Jazz. The Jazz, who are reeling at the moment, they are 10.5-point favorites. Wouldn't be stunned if they lost this one as well. The total is 230. Mike Conley's at 5,100. He's starting. It's against an easy defensive matchup. He should beat that number, and I feel good about using him. While Clarkson's at 52, give me Conley over him every day. And Don Mitchell's at $8,000.
He's Don. He's good.
I think Don at 8,000 with the absolute massive load that he's dealing with.
Giggity.
Really, really good numbers for him, so I like using him. While Shabazz Napier should be able to exceed the $4,800 price point, so I do like Shabazz. Ish Smith, no thanks. At shooting guard, Jingle and Joe is a strong no, while Beal's at 9,700, also putting up the good numbers. But if we're going to fade someone at that level of salary, doing it against the Jazz is probably the right time to do it, while Troy Brown's just not really being utilized. Bojan Bogdanovic is at 6,100. I have no trust in that. Royce O'Neal was good last game, but again, I don't really rely upon him doing that on a regular basis. For your big man, Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
Ooh la la. 7,800 for Gobert. He averages 46 against the Wizards. They are not going to really be able to slow him down. He should be good for 40, so I like him quite a bit. While the tank Tom Bryant, Yan Mihinmi, and flaming Mo Wagner are going to split those center minutes, making all of them useless, while Rui Hachimura at 5,500 is too highly priced. And then you've got Davis Bertans at 53, who's a pretty good cash guy, but I'm not sure there's all that much there in terms of upside for Bertans in the DFS format. Second last game, the Pistons taking on the Suns. Bruce Brown, the Shark, is questionable. Siku Dumbuya has appeared on the injury report as probable. Kelly Oubre out with that torn meniscus. DeAndre Ayton is at 8,100. He's blocking shots. He's doing everything. An unbelievable matchup. I don't know why I started with him, but that's how much I want to use him. Really like it. Let's go back to the point guards. The Sharks at 5,000. Yeah, dealing with a knee injury. I'm not keen for that. While Reggie Rose, that's not the right name. Derek Rose at 5,700 is worth a GPP look, and Rubio is just slaying blokes at the moment. 52 average in his last three, 7,100. I think he's at least worth a tournament flyer with how well that he's playing, but the wheels will come off at some point. At shooting guard, Bridges is at 5,400. Yeah, he had 31 in that first game without Oubre. I don't really trust it, and I'm not sure the upside's really there. Galloway, Snell, McKay-Luke, I'm not keen on those blokes really at all. At small forward, Dario Saric is at 4,800. He's probably going to start again with Oubre out, but he didn't produce very much last game due to some poor shooting. I think he's at least worth a tournament look here, while Dumbuya at 3,000 is not working. Cam Johnson also similarly not in my plans. At center, Ayton, love it. Johnny Henson, the Muppet, 3,500. At least some tournament value there for Henson, while the Crucifix Christian Wood at 72, we're all about him at that salary. He just gets that number almost every game. While Thon McKerr, his value has dipped pretty considerably with how the Pistons have now decided to change up their lineups and using him differently. The last game of the night is the Denver Nuggets and the LA Clippers. The only person on the injury report here is Noah Vonleh. He's questionable, but that doesn't matter because he wouldn't play anyway. We don't know if Patty Beverley and Paul George will still be on minutes limits. I would expect they will be. Beverley's at 4,100. Not interested in that. Lou Williams, Jamal Murray. Murray at 76. Just the matchup here is probably one that I'd leave him out of. Well, Monty Morris has been playing well, but they've also adjusted his salary up to make it not that interesting. Shooting guard, Farton Will Barton's in a slump. He's a good GPP guy with some tournament value, while Gaz Harris at 38 is not going to work in my mind. For your small forwards, Michael Porter's at 37. Love that one, especially for tournaments. Kawhi, 9,500. He should get close to 50, so that's good value as well. While Marcus Morris at 51 and Paul George at 71, I'd probably fade off of both of those guys. For your big men, Paul Millsap's at 4,900. I think they play Millsap a little bit more here, but it doesn't mean that I want to use him for tournaments. Same with Montrezl Harrell at 5,700. Big Chungus is at 96. Numbers have fallen off a little bit for him with Plumlee and Millsap back, so I think that we might just fade off of Jokic there, while Plumlee, Zubats, and Jeremy Grant aren't probably going to be the guys that I think are going to get it done for you. Let's have a look at how it all shakes out over on FanDuel. I like Reed, Naz Reid, Ja Morant, Lonzo, Gobert, Michael Porter, Bledsoe, Miles Bridges, Danilo Gallinari, Devin Booker, Vucevic, Dinwiddie, and DeAndre Ayton. That'll do it for me for this week, guys. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. I'll be back with a weekly preview show over the weekend. Leave a comment down below. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Glenn Robinson III.